assurance of the living God. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Martin Niemöller was a German pastor, similar to that pastor that you saw in the video earlier. He was also a theologian who opposed Hitler after he insisted on the supremacy of the state over religion. And Hitler personally detested Niemöller and had him arrested and eventually confined in Dachau concentration camp. Niemöller was released in 1945 by the Allies. And he continued his career in Germany as a clergyman and a leading voice of penance and reconciliation for the German people after World War II. And a few days before his death, he remarked, "When I was young, I felt I had to carry the gospel. Now that I am old, I know that the gospel carries me." And I think for all of us, we need to realize that the good news of Messiah is what carries us. He was also quoted as saying, "First they came for the Jews, and they did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me." I think there's a lesson in that, how we need to be a voice of reason and a voice sometimes of protest and stand for what is right and stand for God. Well-known Holocaust survivor and professor of humanities, writer of 57 books, winner of the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Nobel Peace Prize, Elie Wiesel, who passed away this last July, was quoted as saying, "Taking sides, or take sides, silence helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere. When human lives are endangered, when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Whenever men or women are persecuted because of their race, their religion, or political views, that place must at that moment become the center of the universe." You know, throughout the Jewish world today, we hear the chants, "Never again, never again, never again." Yet at the same time, we hear the roars of those who deny that the Holocaust ever even happened. We see that among the Islamic world today, how they fabricate and promote lies about Israel. They say that the Holocaust never happened. It's a big Jewish lie to get sympathy from all the world and to get a country of their own. Yet no one, they say, cares about the Palestinians and the others who don't want peace. They want destruction. Here in America, we have David Duke, former head of the Ku Klux Klan, who said that the Zionists have used that myth of the Holocaust as a weapon to deny the rights of the Palestinians and to cover up all the crimes of Israel. I was also going to share about what Mel Gibson, a well-known actor and director, said in an anti-Semitic ravings several years ago, but in talking with Joshua this week, it turns out that Mel Gibson has in fact repented of that. And now he is spending millions of his dollars to help Holocaust survivors and victims and other organizations to help the Jewish people. He has repented of that. That's good, yes. He sent me an article about it. It's in the Jerusalem Post and in other articles and other papers. And now he's using his resources for good. And now God is blessing him again. As in this last Academy Awards, I think he was the director of one of the, what movie was that? Which one? No, I'm talking about this last Academy Award. Anyway, but he's once again, he is getting recognition for his acting and for his directing and other things where he had pretty much faded away. And I believe that was God's judgment upon him. But that teaches us that anybody can change. Anybody can turn their lives around and make things right again. Thank you, Lord. In order for the world to proclaim never again, it has to first acknowledge that the Holocaust actually took place and that 6 million innocent lives perished in the flames of the Holocaust. Jews were murdered not because of any crime that they committed, but simply because they were Jewish people. That's the only reason. You know, anti-Semitism is not a recent phenomenon. As we read during some of the candle readings, it persisted for 3,500 years ago. We see it with Pharaoh, who wanted to kill the Jewish babies. We see it with Haman during the time of Purim, who wanted to destroy the Jewish people. We see it with Antiochus during the time of, in the intertestamental period, where we have the Maccabean revolt, we have Judas Maccabee and all that. We have it during the Crusades, the Inquisitions, the pogroms, the Holocaust to exterminate the Jews. These things are not new. But in the midst of all this destruction, God has been faithful to his people, and God remains faithful to this very day, and he always will. So the question arises, can a Christian be an anti-Semite? Can a Christian be anti-Semitic? Well, you see it. Yeah, you see it in plenty of churches in America and Europe today, where churches are not only anti-Semitic, but they denounce and attack the Jewish people in everything they say and everything they do, and boycott and divestment and sanction against Israel. It's throughout the church today. Can a Christian who claims allegiance to the Messiah, Yeshua, despise the Jewish people and desire their harm? Doesn't make sense, does it? But the answer is clearly no. For a professing Christian to side with an anti-Semite is to side not only against the Jewish apostles, the early believers who wrote the New Testament, but also against the Jewish Messiah, who was the inspiration for all of the Second Covenant of Scripture and the faith that we have today. God's program began with the Jewish people. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the good news because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. And Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul's greatest sorrow was that many of his own people, his own kinsmen, had rejected the Messiah. And the great Apostle's love for his Jewish people was so intense that he was willing, if it were possible, to surrender his own salvation and suffer eternal judgment of God if they would only come to Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah. We read in Romans chapter 9, verse 2 through 3, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I could myself be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. And his prayers were constantly rising before the throne of God on their behalf. And we read again in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for the Israelites is that they may be saved. And he goes on, he realized that Israel's future was anchored in this great heritage, and he shared in Romans 11, verses 28 through 29, the Jewish people are loved on the account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his callings are irrevocable. Don Wilkerson of the Times Square Church in New York is quoted as saying, "What scares me is that a similar spirit of anti-Semitism is in the church today among some segments of the body of the Messiah. This has come in the form of replacement theology, the idea that the church is the new Israel and that the church alone is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning or regarding God's covenant with the Jewish people." But there was a 2,000-year-old warning that was issued to the Gentile branch of the Messiah by Rav Shaul, by the Apostle Paul, in Romans 11, verses 17 through 18. He said, "If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you." So let me end, and I said it's going to be short today. Let me end by quoting from Dr. Michael Brown's book, "Our Hands Are Stained with Blood." And if you have never read that book, I don't know, Donnie, do we have any of those left, "Our Hands Are Stained with Blood"? We should get some more of those. It's an absolute amazing book. Amazing book. And he says in this book, "Our Hands Are Stained with Blood," "Let us cry and mourn today so that Israel will repent tomorrow. Then Yeshua will return. Death will be no more and suffering will cease forever. And when the weeping of sorrow finally mingles with the pent-up weeping of joy, Almighty God will reach out his hand and wipe away every tear. No more gas chambers, no more inquisitions, no more crusades, no more hatred, no more sin forever." You know, as I share this today, Iran is calling for the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. They say they've developed long-range missiles that can reach anywhere within Israel. And they've been saying that they will bombard Israel with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of missiles that they're going to rain down upon Israel, because they want to see Israel, the Jewish people, destroyed. And this is the same spirit of Haman, because modern Iran is Persia of old. And as Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, so do the current leaders of Iran. They want to destroy Israel. And Iran is the greatest threat to Israel. They are supplying Hezbollah with missiles and rockets and weapons, supplying Hamas, supplying Syria. And Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, and numerous other radical Islamic groups are crying death to Israel, death to Israel, death to the Jews. And our cry needs to be never again, never again, never again, never again. Can we, the body of the Messiah? You know, in Nazi Germany, the Lutheran Church was in cohorts with the Nazi Party. They got their support from the Lutheran Church. They got their support even from the Roman Catholic Church. Hitler could not have done all that he did without the help of the church. Can you believe that? That's why we as the church, we as the body of the Messiah, we as the faithful remnant, we need to take a stand and say never again, never again. No, we won't stand for it. No, we are against it. No, we love Israel and the Jewish people, and we will stand for them through thick and thin. Thank you, Lord. And I'm proud that my son was in Israel, and he fought in the Israeli army to protect the land. And this is an example. If we can't do it physically, we need to do it in the spirit. We need to stand with Israel and the Jewish people. Never again Can we as the body of the Messiah stand back quietly and watch as Satan goes on the rampage against God's chosen people? We need to take a stand if necessary. Give our life to defend the people of the book, God's people and God's holy name. We must always remember and heed the words spoken by the Lord God himself in Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And that has been a truth throughout all the generations. Where is Babylon? Where is the Assyrians? Where are the Philistines? Where are the Canaanites? Where are all those who came against Israel? They're all gone. But Am Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you again, Lord, that we can commemorate the good things you have done, Lord, and also commemorate the sad times in history. And we know you were there, Lord, and you were watching and you were weeping. And you weep and you cry for your people. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you